conversation. And of course, they reflect pretty nicely somebody's momentary emotional state, giving you the opportunity to modify your behavior accordingly, sort of micro signals and that sort of stuff. But what passes for debate is whether these expressions are understood on a universal level. And components of cultural influence do seem to divide the opinions of academics. Joining me right now is Dr. Megan Willis with a PhD in cognitive science. Beg your pardon, to have a little bit of a chat about how it all works. Good morning, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining me. So, starting sort of on a lighter note, how can different face shapes, appearances, and behavioural intentions modify your first impression of somebody?
Well, what we find is that when we kind of are exposed to images of another individual, the kind of facial expressions that they display will influence the first impressions that we make of them. So people displaying more positive emotions are generally perceived more positively on a range of social attributes like competence and attractiveness and trustworthiness. And what's really interesting is that we kind of make these first impressions really rapidly, and there's a great deal of consensus amongst individuals in how we make or form first impressions from the same image of a face.
Mm, right. So you say this happens pretty quickly. How quickly are we talking? Are we talking like instantaneous almost? Or if I meet someone, do I have a little bit of time to sway them gradually with my positive face messages?
Well, what we found is that generally you can form a first impression with as little as, say, 50 to 100 milliseconds exposure to an image. And if you give people longer to look at an image, it doesn't really change their first impression. All it seems to do is just increase their confidence in their initial first impression. So, I mean, obviously, I guess there are differences in terms of forming first impressions based on images online as opposed to in real life, because obviously in real life, facial expressions are very dynamic and changing. And so, you know, there's a lot more that comes into play there. But on the online world where you might post just one image of yourself, well, that image can be really important in guiding first impressions.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, moving past sort of like just initial first impressions, there's one psychologist, Paul Edmund, who concluded that facial expressions are culturally universal. It's been a hotly debated topic. What are the different sides to this this debate about facial expressions, and where do you stand on it?
Well, I guess the... I think the kind of dominant view for much of the last, last four decades has been that facial expressions are universal. And the research that Paul Ekman did involved looking at the recognition and generation of different facial expressions across different cultures. And what his research demonstrated was that people recognise and they generate these kind of basic facial expressions, these basic emotions that you mentioned, so anger, disgust, fear, happiness and sadness are the main ones. So we see these facial expressions across cultures, and the really compelling evidence in support of the universality of expressions came from research that was done with a culture in Papua New Guinea where they were a pre-literate culture. So they hadn't been exposed to, TV or media influences, so there was no potential for them to have learned the expressions. And what this research showed is that they produced the same expressions and they could recognise expressions in other cultures. So that kind of, I think, you know, led people to really, I guess, buy into this idea of the universality of facial expressions. More recently, there's been some evidence showing that there are some subtle differences across cultures. So, for instance, there's some research comparing Western cultures to Asian cultures, and you see some I would describe them as kind of subtle differences in how facial expressions are depicted, and I guess psychologists kind of refer to these as like kind of cultural accents of facial expressions. So I guess my position on it is I think there is good evidence for facial expressions being universal, but it does look like they have to some degree been shaped by cultures. So the way that we might express emotion isn't identical across cultures, but there is still a lot of overlap, and we can generally do okay at recognizing emotions across cultures.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think the term like an accent is quite an interesting analogy way to look at it. For different cultures. Something which I found particularly interesting was the suggestion that some people who are born blind and so obviously aren't able to copy visual cues from other people's facial expressions do develop very similar reactions to people who have sight. Is that correct?
Yeah. So actually that's one thing I forgot to mention. That is also additional evidence that... that, you know, for the fact that it is that facial expressions are universal and they're kind of an innate, you know, way of communicating that we've evolved. So obviously the people who are born blind, they have no potential to learn facial expressions. So that's been well established that in children who are born blind, they display the same kind of facial expressions that those who can see.
Mm. Given all of this is to a degree innate and in the way that we communicate with other people, I think it is interesting to look at that in, of course, the online sphere because of all the way that everyone's interacting now through social media and things like that. These sorts of facial cues are being left out of our interactions. So when it comes to looking at how we're communicating online, is this a form of like suppression of, I don't know, individual expression and interaction?
I don't know. Like, I guess if you think about it, it depends what we're talking about. You know, when we communicate online, yes, we're not seeing people's facial expressions, but you know, nowadays people use emojis a lot. So in a sense, we tend to try and communicate, you know, a lot of people will try and communicate with emojis to kind of demonstrate that they're smiling or joking and things like that. In the absence of emojis, I think it can be challenging having interactions because certainly facial expressions are really useful cues as to what someone's trying to communicate to you, but I would say that we do try and kind of compensate for that by, you know, kind of trying to express emotion with, you know, with emojis and things like that.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a big user of emojis, and I do find myself very frequently having to explain that, no, yes, I was being sarcastic here, and yeah, it's sort of unpacking the tone of my communication. So maybe I should get on the emoji train if I'm doing more online communication. Megan, thanks very much for joining me today to give us some information about this. Super interesting, and it's sort of, yeah, fascinating.
All right, thanks for having me.
Cheers.